Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios here in Portland, Oregon. And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Sun BGI Barbecue Nation radio network. And thank you for listening today. It's a name synonymous with high quality barbecue and success. And especially if you're in the Illinois area, it's Amy Mills and her dad, Mike. And the 17th Street Barbecue goes without saying. I even know about it, and I live clear out on the West Coast. How's that? So like to welcome Amy here. And how you doing?
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. So I guess kind of bring us up to date on what's been happening there in the middle of the country with the COVID stuff. And have you guys been able to open back up to seating, in-house seating, or is it still takeout, or what's going on?
Well, a lot has been going on, and it really has changed week by week here. We have been closed since March 19th. In April, we started doing a weekly family pack pickup where we would have a variety of items that you could order during the week and pick them up on Saturday. And we collaborated with several other places who were closed. So we were just trying to, give other local people an opportunity to join in with us and sure. offer some of our food and just keep in the game. We are opening in Marion. We have two restaurants here, 22 miles apart. So we're opening our Marion drive-through only this Thursday. And then Murfreesboro will fall shortly behind that. We can offer outdoor seating here, and we'll start that a week or so after we're open and we just sort of have our sea legs. We have stripped down our menu, really getting down to the very basic.
Sure.
We have switched our format where all of our meat now is by the pound and all of our sides are a la carte. So a little bit more of a meat market style offering. Obviously, we still have stuffed potatoes and some sandwiches and different sure. things that we've always had. But we are really, really just getting down back to basics here. We're trying to think about food that is easily portable. It will travel well. It will go through that takeout easily. So I don't anticipate being back inside for quite some time. And even our outside dining is going to be somewhat limited. We just don't have tons and tons of space. So each of our restaurants, one used to hold 90 people, one holds 255 people. Obviously, we will not be back to those kind of capacities for quite some time.
Earlier, it was actually the end of last week, I actually went into a restaurant, and it was the first time in 3 months. We've opened to some in-house seating here in Oregon, and some not so much in Washington, but here in Oregon. We don't have the population density that like Illinois does and East Coast and stuff. Anyway, was able to go in there and sit down, and it actually felt very weird to do that, Amy.
I'm not anxious to do that personally. So, I'm in no rush.
Yes. You sound like my wife, because I was saying she wanted to know what I wanted to do for Father's Day. And I said, well, maybe we could go to the casino because it's opened up, and one across the border in Washington. I mean, she goes, no. What do you want to do here at the house? And I was like, oh, okay. So a little different selection there. But it was very strange. Now, has it also, with everything that's gone on, Amy, changed anything in the way you're prepping the food, or any precautions that your extra precautions you guys are taking now?
The restaurant, we wear masks in the kitchen, and we were always super safe. We all follow food safety rules and have food safety handlers' licenses. The big difference, I would say, is the mask and just hugely increased hand washing. We have timers set, so every 30 minutes we're changing gloves and washing hands. We are people who require masks, so we have signs on our building, our warehouse building where our offices are, and our catering kitchen. You know, we want people coming in here. The doors are closed, but if you're going to come in, you need to be wearing the mask. And, you know, everything that I'm working toward here is really keeping my dad alive. He is older and very high risk. So I will take every precaution necessary to not bring this home to him. And, you know, he hasn't really been out of the house much since early March. He's going a little stir crazy.
It's kind of like the joke. It's like being 16 again. Gas is cheap and you're grounded. So there you go.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is he able to get outside, though, at the house and walk around in the yard?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's not just sitting in the house. But it's definitely different from being in an active, vibrant office. And we're just now starting to hire people back. You know, we laid off 100 people, and now we have 12 people back. So we are going to be running at a very limited capacity, I would say, for quite some time. We were able to get in on some of the PPP money, but until they extended the usage for that, we really didn't use any of it because we couldn't hire people back and not have anything for them to do. So while that money was welcome, it did not really work for a restaurant purpose, as you've heard, I'm sure, from every restaurateur in America.
Yes, we've had a lot. We've had several on the show. A friend of mine, Jack Timmons in Seattle, Jack's Barbecue. What he did, though, was very interesting is he had two locations, and they had to really scale back, and they were closed for a while, and then they were able to do the takeout, curbside, that type of thing. He went around to some other restaurants that were closed, and he made deals with them to use their kitchens. Now, they're all certified and licensed and clean, and he knew these people. So this wasn't just out of the blue. Anyway, long story short, Amy, he went and he opened up because Seattle's kind of a sprawling area now, kind of like Chicago is and some of those. He opened up two more locations so he could put people back to work, but it was still very limited. You know, the hours were limited, but everything came from the pits at his original restaurant, and then they were delivered to each of the satellite locations every morning. And then, as usual, when they were out, they were out. But that was probably one of the most unique stories that I came across in talking about this. But a lot of people, they expect to lose, I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but they expect to lose probably 35 to 40% of the restaurants, like here in Portland, before this is all over, because they just can't hold on. They won't have the capital to start up again when they give them the green light.
Right. Well, it's interesting here. You know, we are 6.5 hours south of Chicago, so very rural southern Illinois. Lots of the mom and pops have been doing takeout this whole time. We opted not to do that because the first week we tried, the revenues were just so low, we couldn't sustain that. So we opted to preserve our cash flow and just take a little bit of a breather. We have been working on, you know, retiling our kitchen and tearing out the bathrooms and redoing those. So we've been doing a lot of construction work also and really taking time to do that. So as we go back into things, even though we could be outdoor dining right off the bat, obviously socially distanced outdoor dining, we're just going to do the takeout for the first week, and then we'll kind of crawl back into it that way. I know very few restaurants that have actually closed, so I think that's interesting. I do think in our area there is a renewed interest in supporting local, and that makes me really happy. I think at the end of this, if you go out and eat at chains, like, you're the problem. I feel really strongly about that. This, never, ever have we needed people to support local more than we do right now.
No, that's true. And that number I gave you was really indicative of a lot of, when I say startups, they're less than 2 years old, maybe. Portland's a real kind of hipster town with you've got a lot of people that come in and they literally will rent a closet from somebody and prepare some sort of food for there and hang a sign out. And part of that, when things are normal, that's kind of cool because you get to experience a lot of different things. In a situation like this, it's not good because some of those, especially the younger people that have started and they did the family and friends thing, got some money behind them, opened up a storefront somewhere, and they're pretty much devastated. So we'll just have to see how it shakes out here. But I agree with you. The older established restaurants, got up my favorite Chinese restaurant, which is a few miles from our home, but they've been doing the takeout and stuff because they've been doing takeout for 40 years. So they were used to it, you know. So that worked out pretty good for them. But
we have been very set up for that as well. I think what happened for the first few weeks is that, you know, people ran to the stores, they bought all the food, they bought all the toilet paper, they bought all the meat, and then they stayed home and cooked. And so there was a real market correction during that first month. And then people were thinking, okay, now I'm hungry. I want some of my familiar food. I'm ready to go back out again.
Yeah. So we're talking about Amy Mills from 17th Street Barbecue. And what's been the biggest nuisance for you since this whole thing started?
Well, I think the change, but instead of the nuisance, I would like to say that we've had a couple of bright spots. Our mail order business has really hugely increased. So that has been really exciting. We've always sent food all over the country, but now it's much more than normal. And people are sending lots of care packages to family and friends in addition for food for themselves. And we've been building a barbecue sauce factory, and we've had lots of fits and starts with that, but we had a new contractor and they started right before all of this happened. They started in February, and that construction is really accelerating. And so that will be turned over to us in a month and a half or so. So that has been very exciting as well. So while this has certainly been an extremely challenging time,
we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We'll be back with Amy Mills in just a few minutes. Please stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. You're listening to us on the Sun BGI Radio Network. I'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef for supporting the show. Beef the way nature intended. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Also, if you'd like to email us, it's very simple. info@thecowboycook.com. That's info@thecowboycook.com. For those of you who don't know or listening to the show for the first time, that's my other handle on television. You can check us out also on Facebook and all the social media platforms, from SoundCloud to Captivate to Chartable to, I don't think we do TikTok because I'm not dancing. But other than that, we're on most of all of the platforms out there. Our guest today is Amy Mills from 17th Street Barbecue. Her and her dad, Mike, they're just icons in the barbecue world. And we really appreciate her taking the time to do that. How is your dad? I mean, what does he think of all this?
Well, I think it's hard to understand really what's happening when you haven't left the house. So he certainly is glued to CNN and to the news all day. And I take him out driving, obviously, for drives to show him, you know, these places are closed. We can't go in there. And now look, they're putting out chairs outside. So I think that he is, just like the rest of us, kind of overwhelmed. It's really sort of unbelievable. Unless you're living this day to day, it's hard to really fully understand what's happening in a restaurant per se. You know, each person is having their own things to deal with, from, you know, children not being able to go to prom or have a proper graduation to having to work at home or having to homeschool. I think every single person in America is having some sort of challenge right now, and this just happens to be ours.
Yeah, my wife has been working at home for 3 months now. She's a college administrator. And so we just took one into the house and kind of made it a great big office for her. My office is there and I work in another part. And we kind of say hi when we walk through the kitchen a couple times a day. But, that's kind of the way it is. And it looks like it's going to be that way for a while for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you, it's going to sound a little redundant, but what have you learned, but not about COVID, but have you had time to think about things, maybe things that you were contemplating in the back of your mind over the last few years, but you never really got to it as far as barbecue, how you do it, what you're doing with it, like that. But now these last couple, 3 months, we've all had some time to kind of push our chair back, scratch our head and go,
Absolutely. This has been a huge opportunity to reimagine our business. And there are things that we've talked about and tried to do in the past, but for whatever reason, we were too busy or we just couldn't implement them, or our guests would not be too receptive to those things. So I feel that we're emerging from this hibernation as a totally different group. Our barbecue fundamentally will never change. It is low, it is slow, it is exactly the way Mike Mills taught us how to do things, but we have tightened up our menu. We've gone to a better way of selling the meat, you know, by the pound versus a little sampling platter of an arbitrary amount that we didn't always weigh out per se.
Sure.
We have taken things off the menu. I know people are going to scream when they see this new menu next week. We've certainly taken off someone's favorite item, but we've taken the opportunity to pull reports and really look at what sells and what doesn't sell and narrow those things down. That's not to say something couldn't come back as a feature sometime, but right now we are down to the basics and our best sellers and things that we know are going out the door. We've spent a lot of time rewriting training and figuring out, you know, better ways to onboard people and reorient the people we're bringing back. We'd actually started all of that in the winter, but we really hadn't kicked anything off yet when this happened. So that was a perfect opportunity for people to take uninterrupted time to, you know, look at all of those old manuals and things that we had and really rewrite them and update them. I think really time is what the gift has been. Uninterrupted time. It's taken me hours to figure out the kitchen. We're doing in the front of our barbecue sauce factory, a breakfast, lunch, coffee shop and the coffee drive-through, which will be huge here. I know you love your coffee in Portland, but we don't have a lot of coffee options here in Southern Illinois. So I'm super excited about this. And it has taken hours to work on the layout of the kitchen and the design and all of those things. And in a normal day, I would not have had those hours to just spend like I did. So all of that, every aspect of our business has been looked at in some way. We're making some big repairs that we just couldn't do while we were fully operational. We've taken our entire kitchen apart in one restaurant and taken bathrooms apart, and we're retiling and doing all of those things. So it really feels like a cleansing in such a good way. Even though we've had no cash flow for 3 months,
yeah,
we're doing some things that are very important, you know, for the future of our business. So that makes me really happy.
Do you miss the smell of the pits cooking? I mean,
we have pits in this warehouse building where I work, and we cook for mail order every day. So
okay.
I'm good on that.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, because I know that for, it's like around here or anywhere that you go, if you're driving around and you get that waft in the air of the smell of somebody's pit cooking like that, you go, oh yeah, I got to go over to Pardoners or, you know, whatever, Smoke and Oak or those couple places around here. But, you know, you do that and you miss that. And, some of the smaller ones, even though they still do takeout, there's not that smell in the air constantly during the day. And I've actually had people tell me that they miss that.
Well, you can smell it when you pull up to our building, and that has definitely been a mainstay. So the pits never died, which is a good thing.
That's good. Did you have any problems with your supplies or suppliers of, you know, your meat?
Yes. So when things started going a little crazy with the processing plants, I instantly had to make sure that we had enough ribs, our supply. And we are meat packers in Chicago. And our ribs are a Duroc cross that comes from some very specific farms in Iowa. So we were great there. We had every plant or meat packer we used had no issues with that shutdown. Brisket, however, is a different story. So we're actually reopening with no brisket on the menu. And we'll just, you know, we've just left a space for it on our new menu. And it just says, sorry, not available due to market prices. So until that course corrects, which should be fairly soon, we're just not even going to try to offer that right now.
Well, there you go. We're talking with Amy Mills from 17th Street Barbecue, and we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. Be back in just a minute. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and we're talking with Amy Mills today from 17th Street Barbecue in Illinois. Also, again, thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef the way nature intended. You can check them out at PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. And the National Barbecue News, our old buddy Kel Phelps down there, he's got all the barbecue news that's fit to print, as I filch something from the New York Times there. Anyway, so, and if you'd like to email us, it's info@thecowboycook.com. All right, back with talking with Amy Mills from 17th Street Barbecue. What have you been able to do for fun in all this, Amy?
Well, this is a no fun zone. I've really not had very much fun. I do have, you know, a few friends who I have seen sitting at different tables for happy hour, very socially distanced. It's really been around the clock work. And because at first, when we laid everyone off, there were only five of us, you know, we were doing everything from all the packing and shipping and the cooking and just the packaging, everything. So it's been a little overwhelming. I'm definitely a little bit tired, but now that we're getting ready to ramp up again, I'm feeling more invigorated than tired. So that's a good thing. One of the most exciting things I've done recently was participate in a program with Goldman Sachs called 10,000 Small Voices. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, I did the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program, which is really a mini MBA. It was such a neat experience. Businesses can apply. You have to have a certain level of sales and
right.
some milestones. But most importantly, you have to be able to expand or grow your business in some way. And during the entirety of the 12 weeks, you work on that growth plan and you come out of it with a very specific plan that you're going to go off and implement. So part of this, I've done this now two times with them, is that they really teach you how to advocate on Capitol Hill. And a couple of years ago, I actually went to Washington, D.C., and we spent a day visiting all of our state senators and representatives and meeting with them and talking about topics that were very important to us as small businesses. Now, obviously, we are all keenly interested in topics, interested in how we're all going to survive as a small business.
Sure.
And so they set up a virtual Hill Day. They made appointments for us, grouped us by state and region, and made appointments for us to meet virtually with our senators and representatives and talk to them about PPP and other issues that we need for in America and that we need to keep going. So that was really impactful. I was one of the House captains for that and a speaker telling our story. And fortunately, we are a stop on the campaign trail in Illinois. Anyone who runs for any office, including President Obama, has been to 17th Street during any swing south in the state. So we're all very familiar with us. And I do think they're all very keenly interested in helping us survive this pandemic. But finding your voice, I think, as a business leader is very important, and really learning how to advocate for yourself and for other small businesses, both at a local, state, and national level is really important. So I'm grateful to that program and to the people at Goldman Sachs who put all that together.
Do you feel a real sense of responsibility with that? And what what I mean by that is this. You're given a platform. You earned a spot on that platform, and you're given a platform and do all the things you just described, which I think are marvelous. But it's kind of like having a radio show or a television show. You have a certain responsibility that comes with that. It's not just about sitting behind the mic or in front or behind the camera, but there's a responsibility that goes with it to bring the proper information, make it also entertaining, of course, but there's a serious side to it. Do you feel that way about what you just talked about, the Goldman Sachs program?
Absolutely. I think I feel huge responsibility on several levels. We have been very fortunate to have built this platform and this foundation over the past 36 plus years, really my dad's whole lifetime. And, you know, at the most local level, I feel hugely responsible for our employees and for the livelihood that we have given this group of people. And the worst day of my life was the day we had to decide to close and lay all these people off. So that was awful. And my focus since then has been, how can we be viable so that I can bring as many people back as possible, but do it responsibly and slowly so that I know I'm not going to have this issue again if a second wave hits. And then at a local level, you know, half of our business is from out of town, out of state, out of country. People come here to our little 7,000 person town from everywhere, at least 4 different people a day. And we know that because we track them on a chalkboard. We ask everyone where they're from. Even the day we closed, we had someone in there from Hungary, the country, who read about us somewhere and came to eat barbecue. So the economic impact of our restaurant on our region is huge, because not only do they come to eat the barbecue, but they stay in a hotel and they fill up their car with gas and they go to the grocery store. Sure. They go shopping somewhere else or visit the wine trail or brewery. So the economic engine that we're in charge of here is paramount to our industry, to the economy in Southern Illinois. And until tourism comes back, you know, that is going to be very difficult. And then, of course, the fact that we do have a national presence and are looked at as leaders, I feel that we have to constantly be a voice and be advocating. And we're not only advocating for ourselves, we are advocating for family-owned restaurants and for small business. And fortunately, we have a voice people listen to. So any opportunity we have to talk about these things and what we need and how we're going to all get through this, we will absolutely welcome and take that opportunity.
Well, I think that's a great answer, by the way, because I think there is you've got several senses pounding in your brain there, not only the sense of survival, which is always kind of first and foremost in people, but then you've got your sense of family and then your sense of community, your business sense like that. And we've seen some people out here, I'm not talking about Illinois because I don't know about local issues in Illinois, but we've seen some people kind of they actually caved in under that pressure. And I understand why. It's huge when they've got their family life savings and everything else tied up into a brick and mortar, and they closed down or it was destroyed by other means, which we've seen a lot of the last few weeks here too. My heart goes out to those people. It's very, very, very difficult for them. What, prior to COVID, what changes were you looking and seeing out on the, we're going to switch gears here on you, Amy. What changes were you seeing out there on the barbecue trail, as it is, the competitive side of barbecue?
Wow. That feels so long ago, doesn't it? Prior to COVID, I can barely remember that time. I'm not sure. Well, I think a big change is the addition of the State Cook-Off Association and those contests and that competitive circuit, which I think is the next big thing in competitive cooking, because it's a shorter contest. There's not as much tied up in time, in equipment, in funds, in getting there. It's a contest that we added to our cook-off weekend maybe 6 years ago, and it has really grown like wildfire. So that, I think, is a very exciting thing. I'm not sure that I've seen huge changes besides that, you know, really huge seismic changes in that cook-off world. You know, a number of years ago when people started giving classes, when Grand Champions started giving classes and, you know, spilling some of their trade secrets.
Sure.
The cook-off flavor profile has become, I don't want to really use the word homogenized, but it's become very specific. There are certain things that everybody uses in some form or fashion when they're competing. So, you know, I haven't seen huge changes in that arena per se. I think that people have just gotten incredibly skilled at the craft. And when I look at somebody like, you know, Darren Worth from Iowa Smoky D's and just the success that he's able to have and the fine-tuned machine he's created on that competition circuit, that's so fascinating to me. It's definitely not like it is when my dad won all those times way back when. Things have changed over 18 years for sure.
Sure. Do you let me interrupt you for a second. The last time we talked, you told me, and I thought it was funny, you told me that when you knew you'd been out judging too much on the competitions because your hands were swollen, you couldn't get your rings off because of all the salt and stuff.
Yes, exactly. That's still the case. But you know, we do still judge several major contests each year, and now we're actually back cooking at Memphis in May, which now may or may not be Memphis in September.
Sure.
I certainly hope that contest happens. It's rescheduled in September. But we've switched to the whole hog category because that's the one category where there's not really a defined flavor profile. And it's not something where things have to be incredibly sweet. So that has been a great experience for us. And we've been in the top 10 four of the last 5 years. So we're just trying to hang in there and claw our way back to that final category.
There you go. Now, I do have a question.
Anytime you get to go on stage, it's a good thing.
I do have a question for you about the whole hog thing.
Sure.
So I've cooked a number of those over the years. An old guy that's long gone had this kind of rickety rotisserie thing that we'd set up in the pastures for weddings or whatever, and we'd do it, and I'd help him. The one thing that I always kept in my back pocket was a pair of pliers, needle nose pliers to be precise, because I could go by and peel off some of the cracklings when it was almost done. Do you do that? That's a little cheater's thing there, you know, but I have to say that was some of the best memories of eating barbecue in my life.
Well, that is a great memory, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is. We're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back and wrap up with Amy Mills from 17th Street Barbecue in just a moment. Please stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and we're talking with Amy Mills from 17th Street Barbecue in Illinois here. Amy is... Well, if you ever read her bio, they call her an heiress. They call her all kinds of things, but I think she's just a nice person. So there you go.
Well, thank you.
Next hour coming up, we've got Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, an old friend of mine and a mentor of mine. And so I think people want to stick around and listen to that hour. Anyway, back with Amy here. 6 months from now, given that maybe we've contained the virus and they've got a vaccine or there are other precautions and this type of thing, give us your image of how today, right now, what you think things will be like for restaurant business, 17th Street in particular.
Wow. I wish I had that crystal ball. It's very, very difficult for me to say. I don't think we'll have a vaccine in 6 months, but I do think that we will all be, you know, cautiously operating. And I think that there are some cleanliness methods and safety measures that people are taking that we just may continue to do. I think that, you know, takeout was already about 35% of our business. I definitely see that growing. I see our mail order continuing to grow. I think that as Americans, we have learned about other methods of getting what we want. You know, we have curbside pickup for groceries now, or people who actually shop and deliver for us. And I think that some of those conveniences will still be here. Our catering business has taken a huge hit. We have everything on our books is canceled. All the weddings, class reunions, you know, parties, events, et cetera. All of the big festivals that we do all summer, everything is gone. I've never been home for such a long period of time, a long stretch of time. So it's hard to know when people will be comfortable going out again and, you know, what they want to do. I really just can't even pretend to know that.
Have any of the local barbecue competitions talked about firing up the cookers again? I know, like, we talked about Memphis in May and the Royal, and they've been pushed back and so on and so forth. But I was just curious, because sometimes online I'll look and I'll say, oh, yeah, we're going to do this in 2 weeks. And then I get a notice that says, no, we can't do it. You know,
it's right. Well, our 33rd annual barbecue cook-off that we have each year called Praise the Lord, it's always the third weekend after Labor Day in September. Right now, we have not pulled the plug on that. I'm kind of waiting to see what the Royal and Memphis in May do, because we are the weekend in the middle of those two events. And sure. The Royal has not changed their date. They are still full steam ahead, and they are trying to figure out a way to do it, you know, in a socially distanced way. And I would like to do that as well. I think we could still have this contest, but maybe we don't have all the public facing part of it, which of course is the fun part.
Right.
I hate to lose momentum, but I need to make sure that we have teams who will come. And honestly, the judges would be the most difficult part of this. We are blessed with a lot of room here, so we would be able to have very spaced out judging. But the judges are, they're older people, you know, should they be traveling?
Right.
I just don't know what the world is going to look like then. So we're just, you know, cautiously proceeding. I'm just not willing to totally pull the plug on that yet, but I'm thinking about it. I do know that in some of the southern states, like I know Alabama specifically, they're still having the steak cook-offs. I haven't been to one. I haven't left town. I don't know how they're running those per se, but, you know, I'm sure there's a way to still do some of this. I need to make sure it's a way that makes sense for us financially, because those contests cost a lot of money to put on, and I need to make sure that we can count on the support of our sponsors. And so much of what happened with our local sponsors is that there were ways for them to be involved, and we had a lot of evening public events as part of this. So, you know, I just don't know about all of that. Right now, I'm mostly interested in just getting open again, kind of crossing that bridge when I get there.
Well, I know that it's not hard to get a seat on airplanes right now, the ones that aren't flying. The ones that are flying. You have to kind of go through some hoops to do that. But there's plenty of seating. There's not as many flights, that's for sure.
Right.
I don't know how it is going out of Chicago or where you fly out of particularly, but they've cut down the flights exponentially. I've got some in-laws that work in the airlines business, and it's pretty tough on them right now because of all this stuff. It really is. If you had a chance, and we're going to continue to talk about competitions for just a couple of minutes here before we wrap up the show, Amy, and maybe I can con you into sticking around for the after hours segment, which is no commercials or anything like that, if you've got time. But if I said, okay, Amy, you get one shot, thinking about barbecue competitions, you could make one change to them, what would it be?
I'm speechless. I can't really think of anything super specific there, because I feel that the good ones are just like well-oiled machines, and they run so well and so easily. If I could make one change, I think it would be just more people. You know, we continually need a new feed of people who love the sport of barbecue to get out there and to start it. I think, you know, I don't know that we have that many new people entering the sport. So I would love to see more people, more new teams starting and really being bitten by that barbecue bug.
Could be the main thing, I think, because I interview a lot of people, and when I ask them that question, the one thing a lot of them touch on is that it's cost prohibitive, and it depends on, you know, geographic location. Like where I am, clear out on the West Coast, we don't have a tremendous amount of competitions. You know, kind of from Denver East, if you will, there's a lot of them back there, especially in the South and the Midwest and stuff. There's a lot of them in your area, you know, in a general sense, but we don't have that many. So for teams to come from the West Coast to go to Memphis in May or the Royal or, you know, qualify and be invited and all the different parameters, it's a big task and it can be expensive.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely an expensive hobby, and you know, just the meat alone is so expensive. I think that's why the Steak Cook-Off Association is so interesting, because your entry fee, which is usually $150 or so, actually gets you the two pieces of steak you're going to cook.
Right.
You're going to take those away and only bring one back. So the barrier to entry is very low. People are cooking over their charcoal chimneys or on their trusty Weber. It is not a fancy place that people are not pulling up with RVs or, you know, they're really kind of, it's very stripped down.
Right.
And I think that is exciting.
Amy, if somebody wants to order something from 17th Street, how can they do it real quick?
Shop17bbq.com.
Folks, that's going to wrap it up for the first hour this week. We've got Graham Care coming up the second hour. And for those of you who don't get the second hour, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.